Welcome back to Through the Word, Matthew 14 today. There's an interesting connection here with what we just read. Back in chapter 13, we saw the parable of the seed sower and the four different soils, which were four different responses to the gospel. Today, we'll see these four responses played out, from hard-hearted rejection to superficial acceptance, all the way to that good dirt of those hearts that fully believe and bear good fruit. So let's jump in.
Verse 1. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the reports about Jesus, and he said to his attendants, "This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead. That is why miraculous powers are at work in him." Now, King Herod was a character. If he was alive today, his family would have had its own celebrity reality show. I mean, we're talking wife stealing, intrigue, bribery, murder. Now, there were several Herods in the scripture, and the one mentioned here was Herod Antipas, the son of King Herod the Great. Now, Antipas had inherited much of his father's personality, if not all of his power. While visiting his brother once in Rome, he convinced his brother's wife, Herodias, to leave her husband and return to Galilee with him. Now, John the Baptist had begun preaching against Herod, saying, in verse 4, "It is not lawful for you to have her." Now, at great risk to his life, John had called out Herod's adulterous actions with Herodias, and it got him thrown in jail. On his birthday, Herod once threw himself this huge birthday party, and during the party, Herodias' daughter Salome came and danced seductively before the guests, and being drunk, Herod promised her anything she wanted. Now, prompted by her wicked mother, Salome asked for the head of John the Baptist on a platter. Pretty gruesome. Now, Herod didn't want to do this, but fearing the guests' reactions more than fearing God, he ordered that John be killed.
So, Herod is an example of someone who hears the truth, but that seed doesn't make a dent. The devil snatches it away immediately. It's a sad story, a harsh reminder of ministry reality. Some who love darkness will hate the light that you bring. But ministry goes on, and next we see a different response to the gospel, in the crowds and in the disciples.
Let's look at verse 13. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Jesus had withdrawn from the crowds, certainly weary from dealing with the rebellion against him that was growing. Yet when he gets to his destination, he sees large crowds of people, and he begins to heal them.
It's interesting to see what the other gospel writers share about this crowd. John tells us that much of the crowd, even after all these miracles, still demanded a sign or they wouldn't believe, and many rejected Jesus when he wouldn't continue performing miracles on demand.
Right, and these men and women may be like the second soil in that parable, those whose faith springs up, but the daily cares of this world cause them to give up quickly. Even in the face of such shallow faith, Jesus still showed compassion toward them.
Now the next story is one of the most famous miracles in the Bible, the feeding of 5,000. Who doesn't love a food miracle? It's the only miracle that all four gospel writers include. Now, most of us know the story. Jesus takes 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and shares it among a large crowd. But there's more going on here than food. So what should we look for?
Watch what Jesus is going to do with his disciples. This miracle is a lesson for them. First, the disciples will have to learn to rely on Jesus' resources. Verse 15. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote village, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. So they were in the middle of nowhere. They had no resources, but they had Jesus. But they didn't seem to understand just how much they really did have for meeting people's needs.
Jesus called his disciples to do the impossible. Notice he said, "You feed them." He wanted them to understand their own insufficiency and his all-sufficiency. Nothing plus Jesus is enough.
Right. But if that was the only lesson Jesus had for them, he could have just called down the food from heaven right into the laps of the crowd. But he did something different. Verse 19. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave it to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. Jesus used his disciples to meet the needs of the crowd. He asks for the Father's blessing and then calls his disciples to help. Yes, Jesus is sufficient to meet our needs, but he graciously used his followers to accomplish his work.
Jesus included them. And this is what amazes me. For you and I, when we see needs all around, sometimes it's too much. But our God can do all things. And he uses people like you and I to accomplish his work. Later, Jesus says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing. Abide in me, and you will bear much fruit." So Jesus is teaching his disciples, by experience, they can do all things through Christ.
And one more lesson is found here. Verse 20. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. They started with enough food to feed one or two of them, but after caring for other people's needs, the disciples were left with a lunch basket full of food each. In blessing others, God will bless you as well.
Now, next up, Jesus sends his disciples back across the lake, and he sends the crowds away. He finally gets that time alone with his Father in prayer. But while the boys are out on the water, a storm hits, a big one. The boat, it says in verse 24, was being buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. For over 6 hours, the disciples were out on the water, beaten down by the storm. And then Jesus shows up.
Right. Verse 25. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. Now the disciples were afraid. They thought it was a ghost. But there, in the midst of the storm, Jesus speaks. He says, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." Jesus walks out to them while they're in the storm and tells them, before calming it, while they are still fighting the storm, to take courage.
Now, there's no doubt that God allows and ordains trials and difficulties in our lives. And he reveals himself to us in ways that we would never know apart from the storm. It is in the midst of storms that we experience the peace of God and understand just how much we need Jesus. But Jesus is with us, and we have no reason to fear.
But don't miss the fact that Jesus is walking on water. And Peter asks Jesus to call him out onto the water as well. And Jesus agrees. Peter gets out and walks towards Jesus. Verse 30. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me!" His faith was strong at first, trusting that God would sustain him on the water. But when his focus was taken off of Jesus, then he began to sink. He took his eyes off of Jesus as his object of faith and began to look at the difficulty surrounding him. And he started to slip away. But he did have enough sense to cry out for Jesus to help him as he began to slip below the waves. When we keep our eyes on Jesus, we can always rest assured that God is in control. Hebrews 12 tells us, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God."
As the great poets once said, "If I keep my eyes on Jesus, I can walk on water."
The key to this chapter is found in verse 33. "Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'Truly you are the Son of God.'"
These disciples are the good soil. Fast forward a few years, and this ragtag crew of bumblers will turn the world upside down. They believed, and that seed dug deep into their hearts, and their lives became world changers. So, what about you?
Matthew chapter 14, believing in the King on Through the Word.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener-supported, so thanks for giving. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries and pastor of Refuge Long Beach in Long Beach, California. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.